Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Deborah Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Tonight, we're going to be in and out of the Word, but before we do, let me introduce the topic. Now, I'm a grandmother, about to be the grandmother of 10. Wow. Woohoo! And we brought a blended family together, and so we brought two children into the marriage, and then we had two together, so we had four kids all together. They were about 4 to 5 years apart, each one, so I was the perpetual mother of teenagers for many years. And so Halloween was always something that was near and dear to my heart because I raised a family of kids that lived in a culture that loves Halloween. And I can remember as a child, because I was born in 1950, so that'll tell you how old I am. I'm 59. And in 1950, my parents being boomers, moving from the East Coast into the state of California after World War II, my dad being in the war, they raised a family here, and I can remember early on Halloween. As a matter of fact, I think I have a picture of myself just very excited about Halloween. There I am on the left. You can tell how happy I am about being dressed up and going out with my perfect princess older sister and my little brother that I knew had an assignment to kill me before I reached 10. So I remember going out trick-or-treating, and I remember being raised up in a denominational church because my mom was an amazing Christian, still is. And my dad was, you know, the heathen that she married, and he's now saved, and he's alive, and they're 84 and 83, and they're just incredible people. But I remember my mom taking us to church at every service. And there was always a Halloween party. And so we dressed up, and we came as witches and goblins, and we came as anything we wanted to come as. And nobody said anything. And then I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I came out of my drug culture and the drug dealer days and all of that I lived. And God began to show me exactly about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness and the two kingdoms that are converging, and they are in conflict, and there is a war raging. And the war is raging for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. And so did you know that Halloween is the second largest holiday that this nation celebrates? Second largest statistics. So I thought to tell you about the origins of Halloween, it would be much better to let a video do it. So this is about 3 minutes from National Geographic. And give your attention to the screens. Lower the lights. Don't get too cozy because I don't want you to fall asleep. And let's learn about the history of Halloween.
From communion with the dead to pumpkins and pranks, Halloween is a patchwork holiday stitched together with cultural, religious, and occult traditions that span centuries. It all began with the Celts, a people whose culture had spread across Europe more than 2,000 years ago. October 31st was the day they celebrated the end of the harvest season in a festival called Samhain. That night also marked the Celtic New Year and was considered a time between years, a magical time when the ghost of the dead walked the earth.
It was the time when the veil between death and life was supposed to be at its thinnest.
On Samhain, the villagers gathered and lit huge bonfires to drive the dead back to the spirit world and keep them away from the living. But as the Catholic Church's influence grew in Europe, it frowned on the pagan rituals like Samhain. In the 7th century, the Vatican began to merge it with a church-sanctioned holiday. So November 1st was designated All Saints' Day to honor martyrs and the deceased faithful.
Both of these holidays had to do with the afterlife and about survival after death. It was a calculated move on the part of the church to bring more people into the fold.
All Saints' Day was known then as Hallowmas. Hallow means holy or saintly. So the translation is roughly Mass of the Saints. The night before, October 31st, was All Hallows Eve, which gradually morphed into Halloween. The holiday came to America with the wave of Irish immigrants during the potato famine of the 1840s. they brought several of their holiday customs with them, including bobbing for apples and playing tricks on neighbors, like removing gates from the front of houses. The young pranksters wore masks so they wouldn't be recognized. But over the years, the tradition of harmless tricks grew into outright vandalism.
Back in the 1930s, it really became a dangerous holiday. I mean, there was such hooliganism and vandalism. Trick-or-treating was originally an extortion deal. Give us candy or we'll trash your house.
Storekeepers and neighbors began giving treats or bribes to stop the tricks, and children were encouraged to travel door-to-door for treats as an alternative to troublemaking. By the late 30s, trick-or-treat became the holiday greeting.
Well, so much for that. 2.5 minutes. But you can see that Halloween had its origins as a very pagan ceremony celebrating the end of summer and looking at the beginning of winter, from the light days to the dark days. And in this Celtic pagan holiday, or it was actually a ritual, the bonfire would be lit. Everyone would stop their hearth fires because everyone cooked by a fire. So, you know, 2,000 plus years ago, fire was everything. That's how you cooked and warmed yourself. And Ireland and England were very, very cold countries. And they would take from that bonfire, they would take the fire into their homes, and then they would stay up at night because they believed that it was on Halloween night, what we call Halloween night, on that eve, that the dead would actually come up and they would search for their souls. And that's why it was so dangerous, because they weren't the good dead, they were the evil dead. And so it was actually a worship of death. It was actually a pagan ritual that had its very roots in fear and trying to placate the dead that had gone on and that could come back and could harm them and destroy them. Therefore, when the Pope in 800 whatever decided to move All Saints Day, the worship or the ceremony of the Catholic ceremony of recognizing the dead martyrs and the dead saints that had died, it was in May. He moved it over to November 1st, and it morphed into Halloween. And because we are so entrenched in English and European roots, this Halloween day became very, very popular in the United States. So Halloween is a pagan holiday with a Christian or a Catholic bandage on it. So what does that mean to you and I? And what does God have to say about this? I am so glad you asked. Because in the midst of all of this pagan ritual and pagan worship and idolatry, God shines a light in the darkness. And if you've come from a Catholic background, you would know what All Saints Day is. I come from an evangelical background, so I never knew that All Saints Day existed, because in the evangelical and the Protestant community, that day was not celebrated. Because in the Protestant and the evangelical community and the Word of God, we are all saints. We are called saints of God, distributors of God's goodness. If you are born of the Spirit of God, you are a saint. This is not about working your way to heaven. This is about the just shall live by faith. It's about believing what God's Word says, hearing it, and doing it in your life. So if you are born of the Spirit of God, regardless of what background you have, you are a saint. And if you go on to be with the Lord, we're not going to have a day to remember you. Because we're just not. Your family can, but we're not. So Halloween is a demonic holiday, virtually. So what does God have to say about this? Because this is why we're here tonight. And the reason I wanted to look at this tonight is because for the last 21 years, I started out this church with Jim, and I became the children's minister because I was pastor's wife, and so I put a hat on and did everything that, you know, there was no one else to do. So I led the worship, and I ran the children's church. And every Halloween, I was very, very, very convinced, and I just knew, because I had a family, that it was important not to curse the darkness, but to light a candle. And so this church has always done something for the kids during this season. This is the first year we haven't. And believe me, I put up one good fight. But when we look at budgets and we look at what's happening, we had to make choices that were difficult. And so we have chosen not to have anything this year, but next year when Halloween falls on Sunday and Sunday night, we will pull out the stops and invite the city. But we got to save up for that. But this year we're not doing anything for the kids. So hence, we need to educate you, because some of you are new believers, and give you opportunity to have a party in your house and to light a candle in the darkness, because it's a dark holiday, it's a demonic holiday, and there's many, many things that are going to be going on Halloween, and Christians need to stand firm and be the light. We do. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, neighbors and friends, what does God have to say about this? I'm glad you asked. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Halloween, what it stands for and what it represents, God says we are not to touch it, we are not to call it good, we are not to call it anything but what it is, which is evil. That's what the word says. Ephesians chapter 5, in the Amplified Version, verses 8 and 9 says, concerning you and I, because what has God got to say about this? Just because I'm an American, and I've got many, many friends from all over the world, and I was speaking with one of my friends that had just moved over from Australia, Diane and Jonathan. They have a church, the Newport Church from the Hillsong community, and Diane was telling me that she was shocked when she came here, because in her neighborhood in Newport Beach, everyone decorated their houses with goblins and witches and skeletons and jack-o'-lanterns. She'd never seen that in Australia. They do not celebrate Halloween like we do in America. So like I said, this is a very, very popular holiday, and this is getting more popular and more demonic every year. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "For you were once darkness. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the product of the light of the Spirit consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, and trueness of life." So God says, number one, in Isaiah, he says, "I hate it. I hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Woe to those who call good evil." So what does God say about this demonic holiday? As Christians, as saints of God, as distributors of God's goodness, he's the head, we're the body. We are the church of the living God on this earth, sanctioned by God and anointed by God and filled with the Spirit of the living God to bring the light of God and the truth of the gospel. Gospel means good news. We are commissioned by God to shine a light in the darkness and not to have fellowship with it. So God says, don't touch it, don't get near it, but walk as children that live in the atmosphere of light. So what are we supposed to do? Glad you asked. Three things tonight. We're going to go quickly. Number one, and I believe this is extremely important. Point number one is stop fearing death. Our nation, our culture, our entertainment, mega financial society, whatever it is getting better and better at graphics and special effects. And horror movies are getting worse and worse and worse. Halloween is a holiday that celebrates and placates death. But God is the God of the living and the God of life. And God says in Matthew 22:32, he says, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. If he's the God of the living... And I love what he said, "I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Isaac. I am that God. I am him." In other words, Abraham isn't dead. He didn't say, "I was the God of Abraham." He didn't say, I was the God of Isaac. He did not say, I was the God of Jacob. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is no death with you and I as Christians. We pass from this world into eternity. And the word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And God does not celebrate death. He is the God of the living. He hates death. He did not create us to die. He created us to have life and to have it abundantly. He is the Zoe. He is the absolute life. He is the energy and the light and the creator of all things. He is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Yeah. I am not going to touch anything that celebrates death. Halloween celebrates death. In Hebrews chapter 2, the number one fear of mankind is stated here. Amplified says up on the screens, since therefore his children share in flesh and blood, speaking about Jesus as the high priest who came in the flesh to rescue the seed of Abraham. Since therefore these his children share in flesh and blood, in the physical nature of human beings, he himself, in a similar manner, partook of the same nature, that by going through death he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. That verse says it because we were sold into bondage and slavery through the fall. And because we die, and the word death, biblical definition of death is separation. It is not a ceasing to exist. We do not cease to exist. Whether you are born of the Spirit of God or whether you don't know where you stand and you're not born again, you will separate from this physical body. But your soul and your spirit are made for eternity. And God says that eternity is written in the hearts of men, and you will separate from this body. It's called what the world says is death. God says it's separation. So I'm either going to separate from this body and be with the Lord, or I'm going to separate this body and I'm going to be in hell. God didn't make me for hell. He made hell for the devil. So Jesus came to rescue us, verse 15, and also that he might deliver and completely set free. That he might deliver and completely set free. That he might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. The fear of death is the number one fear of mankind. The fear of separation from this body. Most of the world doesn't know where they go. They're hoping they're all going to heaven. But the word of God clearly says that there is a battle raging between good and evil. Lucifer, now known as the devil, the anointed cherub that sinned against God with pride and said, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend into the very throne of God, was cast out of heaven. We know that he deceived Eve. He did not deceive Adam. We know that the prototype Adam held the responsibility and mankind was hurled into sin and we were separated from God. It's called death. And we're all afraid of it. And Jesus came so that he could rescue us from death and from the fear of death. So what does that mean to you and I? That means I don't have to be afraid of dying. As a matter of fact, church, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. This is just simply a little parenthesis in eternity. But heaven awaits you and I. Being with God, being the companion to the Son, the church is the bride of Christ, ruling and reigning with him in eternity. The promises of God are yes and amen here on the earth, but that's just the very beginning of what's going to be happening. The best is yet to come. He's already tasted death for us. He told John the apostle in the book of Revelation, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, in the first chapter when John had the vision of Jesus and Jesus came to him and he fell at his feet as if dead. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said to me, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. I am the first and the last. I'm the first and the last. I'm the firstborn from the dead. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and hell. I don't have to be afraid of Satan. I don't have to be afraid of his demonic hordes. I don't have to be afraid of a curse, because a causeless curse cannot alight on me. It cannot touch me. I don't have to be afraid of Halloween. I don't have to be superstitious. I don't have to be afraid of black cats, broken mirrors, walking under ladders, all the foolish superstitions of this fear-entrenched world. God says, stop being afraid of death, because you have been rescued from death. You are now purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And in Colossians chapter 2, it says that he has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, and he has deposited us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You will not taste death, because he's already done it for us. Oh yeah, we're going to die. We're going to separate from this body. It's appointed once for men to die and then judgment, absolutely. But you're just going to move from this temple right into heaven. Right into heaven. And you're going to turn around in heaven, and everybody you love and know is going to be there. And the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. For a Christian to fear death is because you are either in rebellion and in sin, or because you're ignorant, because there is no reason for us to be afraid. So number one, stop being afraid of dying. Number two, take inventory of my life. What does that mean? Get rid of the demonic stuff in my life. See, this is a holiday that celebrates Satan's kingdom and death, fear. And God says, I don't want you to have any part of it. I want you to be so entrenched in faith and in what I've already done for you, that when these holidays come up and these demonic things happen, because the earth is going to get darker and darker and darker before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told us that. Now, I know that we all hope rapture is going to happen and beam me up, Jesus, I'm out of here. But what if that's not exactly how it's going to be written now? So this church does not preach pre-rapture, pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. This church preaches ready rapture. Because God says that we're not appointed to his wrath, but we are the light of the world on this planet. So, I've got to take inventory of my life. I've got to get rid of the demonic stuff. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 11 says in the Amplified, take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness. But instead, let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. Listen to what God says. Take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness. But instead, let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. My life should so shine with the love of God and the light of God that on Halloween night, I don't go out bashing people, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but because of the godly way that I live in, because I am a saint of God and the God of the universe, his spirit indwells me. I am a covenant woman. I'm a woman of faith. I'm a woman that does not fear the devil, but the devil should actually fear me, because all authority has been given unto Jesus. He has the keys of death and hell. He's already made an open show of that devil. He's already destroyed his power over us. But God says take inventory. So I want to talk to you about taking inventory. What does that mean? It means, what am I watching? What am I reading? How do I play? Let's talk about this for a minute. What am I watching? If I'm going to take inventory and have no fellowship with the fruitless works of darkness, then for me to put things in front of my eyes that go into my spirit, because the Word of God says to guard my heart, for out of my heart flows the issues of life. So what I put in front of my eye gate and my ear gate is extremely important. So what am I feeding my spirit by what am I watching? Are you involved in horror movies? Do you watch them? Because if you do, you're actually partaking in the unfruitful works of darkness. You are allowing your soul, your mind, and your will and your emotions to get saturated with fear and death instead of faith and life. And God does not celebrate death. He's the God of life. And therefore, before my eye gate and my ear gate, I do not need to put any vain thing in front of me. If you're watching horror movies, I would say, stop it. Don't rent them. Don't let your children watch them. Have nothing to do with them. In our home, we do not even go there. Listen, I have enough fear just by living in this world and by listening to the news that I have to daily cast down to walk in faith. I do not need to aid the devil's kingdom with vain imaginations of werewolves, vampires, blood and guts, and everything else that is now on television and now in the movies. And Daniel said that in the last days, knowledge would increase. That men would go to and fro upon the earth. And did you know that there's never been a generation that has been as saturated with evil as this one? From pornography to murder to whore. All you have to do is go to your internet or turn on the television or go to the movies and you will be saturated. So as parents and grandparents, as mothers and fathers, as saints of God, we need to guard our hearts first and guard the heart of our children and our families. What are you reading? If you're reading horoscopes, stop it, because that's demonic. Those are soothsayer and astrologers and stargazers. And God says, have nothing to do with them. In Deuteronomy 18, let me read it to you, 9 and 11. It says, when you enter the land, the Lord your God is giving you. Moses speaking to Israel. Be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering. Do not let your people practice fortune telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft. Or cast spells, or function as mediums or psychics, or call forth the spirits of the dead. God said a witch cannot live. This is real. When I was in Africa, I saw it for myself. It's here in America. It just sometimes wears a suit and a tie. But don't kid yourself that Satan's kingdom is not operating and working to cause fear and torment in human minds and souls. Working on our children. So if you are reading your fortune, if you are looking at your sign, stop. Because you are engaging in the unfruitful works of darkness and it's not pleasing God and it's stopping you from growing. If you've got books in your house that are demonic books, you need to burn them and get them out of your house. I'm so serious. If you have statues or idols or anything that worships the devil or worships the creation, get it out of your house. I remember about 10 years ago in the old building, we preached on this, and we had actually a huge trash can, and we had the saints come and just bring every demonic book that they had, every demonic game, every demonic video game, hello? And we burned them in the trash cans, because we saw them do it in the book of Acts in the 8th chapter. Sorcery. Witchcraft is the word pharmakeia. It means witchcraft. It is the word we use for pharmacy and drugs. What are you doing? Drugs, illegal drugs, are the door to the supernatural, but they are the door to the demonic supernatural. Your pastor's wife knows this by experience. If you are smoking marijuana, if you're still engaging in recreational drugs, stop it. You are opening your heart and your mind and your spirit to demonic activity. Stop it. And I don't care what this nation does, how much they legalize marijuana, it is the door and the gate into demonic possession. I know, because I was there. I saw things on hallucinogenics and on drugs that I could never explain to you, and it was not godly things. And God delivered me out of that on the cliffs of Santa Barbara when I was blowing my mind in the 70s with too much acid. I know what I'm talking about. So if you are engaging in the spirits of alcohol, isn't that interesting? Stop it. Do not be drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Holy Spirit, knowing what the will of God is, singing and making melody in our hearts to God. And if you have an appetite for these things, then what you need to do, what I did, I had to repent. I had to see it. I had to say, God, this is wrong. I can't look at astrology anymore. I can't. I was a Scorpio. I had to repent. God had to cleanse my soul and my heart. I had to transfix and renew my mind to what God said because I lived in a demonic world. Christians, listen to me. This is very real. And if you're afraid, what are you watching? What are you hearing? And how are you playing? Last one. Number one, stop fearing death. Number two, take inventory of our lives. Number three, shine my light in the night. The first two dealt with me personally. Because until I deal with me, until I get the beam out of my eye, I have no ability to take the speck out of my brother's eye. And there's a lot of Halloween bashing Christians that may win an argument, but they lose the sale. And I was brought to the Lord from a drug culture, not by judgment, but by the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. What does God say? Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Ending with this thought. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely and worthily and accurately. Not as the unwise and the witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. The days were evil then, I submit to you, exponentially the days are evil, even more so today. And God says, I need you to redeem the time, to be lights in the darkness. So just some thoughts. God says, live with purpose. If you take your children trick-or-treating, which I wouldn't advise, but if you do, you're not under the law, you're under grace. Hear me. Ask yourself and your children, what is the purpose of trick-or-treating? Is it to have fun and enjoy meeting the neighbors? If so, then go with a sense of goodness. Let your hearts convict you, not me. There was a time when I took my children trick-or-treating because I wasn't going to be religious. I took them one time, and they begged me to take them home. They hated it. But if you're coming out of that culture, then let God minister to you. But do not dress your children up as warlocks and skeletons and demons. Take your children to your neighbor's houses and you go with them. Don't you dare leave them alone on that night. And dress them up as Bible characters and be a light. And get all the candy you can get. Do not let your teenagers go to Halloween parties. Have a Halloween party in your house. And make goodness a part of it. And watch them like hawks. Another thought, be wise. God loves people. Don't be so hard on those that celebrate Halloween as a harmless holiday. They don't know any better. They're in darkness. If I bash them with my Bible, all I've done is drive them from God. Matthew 5, 13 and 14 in the Message says, let me tell you, Jesus speaking, why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. If I lose my saltiness, if I become so morphed into the culture of this world that you can't tell I'm a Christian, I've lost my saltiness. But listen to what he says. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. This world belongs to God. Humanity was created by God. Lucifer, now Satan, created nothing. Evil can only exist because good existed first. And good will overcome and has overcome evil. Satan is on a chain and God knows exactly what he's doing. There is nothing to fear. And God says there's not one day that is dedicated to Satan on this planet. Each day we redeem each day we hold up before the Lord as a God-given gift. And God says that I am to show and bring out the God colors in this world, and the God colors of hope and love and faith. And where there's despair and fear, I come in with goodness and mercy, and I say, there's a better way. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to stay in your addiction. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to live in that slum for the rest of your life and raise those kids up and to be gangs. There's a new way for you. Those are the God colors. He says, God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this thing, as public as a city on a hill. Shine our lights in darkness. This year, we are not having a party here. Oh, but get ready for next year. So we're asking you to have a party at your place. Tonight, you're going to get a package as you go out. And this package is a bag of candy and tracts that as you open your door and as you bless these little kids, and these raucous teenagers that you'd like to put in the deep freeze, you're going to give them candy and you're going to love on them. We're not going to say, oh, what a cute costume, because he's got an axe stuck in his head. But before you open the door, you and those with you are going to pray. Because God says, redeem the time. Take every opportunity to shine your light. So we want you to have a party at your place. Watch this video.
I'm a pirate and this is my ship. I'm a cowgirl.
I'm an apex.
I play with your children at school.
We're in the same class.
My parents hug you sometimes.
Sometimes I get kicked off.
Pretty soon I'll be knocking at your door.
Oh, good trick or treat, lady.
Trick or treat.
So don't turn out your light.
Answer your door, mate.
Beneath it all, I'm just a girl.
I'm just a boy.
That needs to be shown the love of Christ.
Just like anybody else.
Let's be a light in the darkness. Stop being afraid of dying. The best is yet to come. We have nothing to fear. Take inventory and do something about it. And number three, be the light in the night on Halloween. That's good.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Deborah Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about the Rock Church or other resources, log on to www.rockchurch.com.